Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Amerks host Binghamton tonight at 7 on the proud home of Rochester Americans Hockey. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get into some Buffalo Bills talk with one of our regulars in the sports bar, Danger Battaglia, covering the Bills for ESPN's NFL Nation. You can read his work at ESPN.com. He's Marcel Louis Jacques. Hey, bud, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are y'all doing?
Marcel, love talking some Buffalo Bills football with you. Were you surprised at the Josh Norman signing by the Bills this week? Your thoughts on the Bills bringing in the corner?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. Once he was released by Washington, I said that this was the Bills are a team to watch in this because it just made too much sense. Beyond the whole Carolina North pipeline that we've heard so much about, he is a veteran, savvy cornerback with experience in Sean McDermott's system. And I believe he's got experience with Leslie Frazier as well. I want to say he coached him in the Senior Bowl or something like that. But this is a guy, you know, he maybe got a bad reputation these past 4 years. He parlayed that all-pro season into a fat deal in Washington. And he was expected to be a superstar. And that just isn't who he was. I think he's a good player who had an amazing year and turn that into, $75 million contract. But he had three different defensive back coaches, I think, in 4 years. He had average safety help, average talent around him. That's just not, if he's expected to be the superstar, then yeah, he's probably, not suited for that position. That's not who he's meant to be. But here, he's just going to be the guy opposite Tre'Davious White. He's got arguably one of the best deep ball deterrents in the NFL in Micah Hyde playing behind him. All around, one of the most talented defenses in the NFL. And it's a zone scheme. So even if he's 32, he's still got those long arms. And this cover two scheme that they like to run, it makes it athleticism is not as important as savvy and know-how. And Josh Norman's been around the league long enough that he knows how to put himself in places to succeed without having to rely on his athleticism. So I think that, the knee-jerk reaction from NFL Twitter is, Josh Norman's a bust. Oh, here we go again. Oh, Vontae Davis 2.0. But I think, come the grease of the season, that people are going to start to realize this was a sneaky, smart decision by Brandon Bean.
Marcel Louis Jacques joining us in the sports bar. Danger Battaglia talking some Buffalo Bills. You could read his work at ESPN.com. Marcel, on the surface, man, what Cleveland did yesterday looks tailor-made for the Bills to kind of swoop in and get another kind of guy that would work. I would think on the surface that it looks like Christian Kirksey would be a wonderful replacement for what you're losing in Lorenzo Alexander. Am I wrong in that assumption? Is Buffalo one of the teams that may have an interest in Kirksey's service for 2020?
No, you're not wrong. There's a lot that goes into that right now. First of all, he's able to be signed basically right away without counting toward next year's cap, since he's a veteran that was released before the end of the calendar year, the league calendar year. But he's an Iowa guy, played with Micah Hyde back in college. Sean McDermott, we had a conversation about how he likes players from Iowa, players from that culture that Kirk Ferentz has built down there. He's good friends with Jordan Poyer as well. I believe he was the best man in his wedding, or he's one of the best men in his wedding. So I think that, you know, it makes sense. And, of course, there's the on-the-field impact. I think he's athletic enough to play that outside backer position. It keeps them from having to, you know, go to the draft and rely on a rookie, bring him up to speed. Or I think it could work. He's apparently going to be one of the visits. Still working to confirm that. It's still a rumor for now. But he's got plenty of suitors here. We'll just see if, you know, if he does come to Buffalo, if that culture charm can work once again here.
Marcel, I want to go back to a win over Denver where nice game for Shaq Lawson. He's holding court. He's wearing the Buffalo versus everybody T-shirt, and he's talking about the future, and things are going well. And then, well, then we see a tweet there Monday night that said, "I didn't get an opportunity." I'm sorry, like, you know, nearly 50% of the snaps, that's not anything where you didn't get an opportunity. So are we to kind of deduce that, you know, the era that for Shaq Lawson is over here in Buffalo? What are you hearing in regards to that?
Yeah, I mean, you can more or less say, yeah, that that's not a great sign for talks moving forward. But this is a guy who Brandon Bean openly endorsed bringing back. Rumors starting to swirl today that he can command somewhere around $12 million a year. That does seem a little high for what Shaq Lawson's been able to produce the past few seasons. But I think it's important to remember, you know, in terms of value, you are worth whatever somebody's willing to pay you. And sometimes the market just boosts players' value in terms of scarcity and availability. That's a big reason why last year you saw Tyler Kroft get the contract he did, because that's just what the going rate for a tight end was last offseason. But it's not a great sign, though, that he's complaining about playtime or opportunity. That being said, they need him. they need him. If he is commanding $12 million a year and he gives Buffalo a chance at a rebuttal, then I'm not sure they pull that trigger. I think that does elevate the need for a defensive end in this draft. I think it elevates it above wide receiver if Shaq Lawson walks. And I think they would go ahead and sign Mario Addison, formerly of the Carolina Panthers. I think they add Addison, get another veteran presence in there. But even with a rookie and Addison and Jerry Hughes, that's, you're not looking at much of, if not any, improvement on Buffalo's pass rush in 2020 compared to 2019. So I think it's important that they bring him back, but it's also important they bring him back at the right price. There's, you know, the whispers and talks that I've heard are that there's some concern of what Shaq Lawson, what his work ethic would be once he gets that big payday. I don't think I subscribe to that completely, though, because I think we saw what his work ethic was this past year when they told him, "We're not picking up your fifth year option." So, you know, we've seen that he can kick it into gear. We've seen he can have a high work ethic. He didn't pout. He didn't sulk during the year, at least. So, we'll have to see. But 12 to 14 a year for Lawson, that is that's a lot of money, yeah, considering the guys that are going to have to, you know, start to re-up over the next two off-seasons.
Marcel, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, when I saw that figure, you know, with what you got out of a guy who had everything to play for, given the opportunities he had last year with Shaq Lawson, and that's what you got. I mean, paying 12 to 14 feels like something that the Bills would pass on, because you're just not going to get that value back based on what you saw at a time where he was supposed to be at his peak. My question then becomes, all right, you mentioned the name from Carolina. Do you think, and I know Brandon Bean has said, look, we're not going to go out there and be, you know, crazy spenders. We're not going to go buy the big purchase item. But, man, with a need like a pass rusher and with so many good ones out there on the market, do you see the Bills maybe expressing a little bit of an interest in kicking the tires on a couple of bigger named defensive ends?
I think the biggest name you could reasonably expect for Buffalo to go after is Robert Quinn. I think formerly of the Rams and of the Cowboys as well. I think he's effective. I think he's been productive without capturing or without commanding the 20 plus million that Ngakoue and Clowney are going to get. And make no mistake, Yannick Ngakoue is going to earn north of $20 million a year if he's not playing on that franchise tag, which he does not want to do. That goes directly against everything that Brandon Beane has not only said, but everything that he's done over the past couple of years as well. The only time that we've seen him bring a guy in to become the highest paid player on the team was a high character guy in Mitch Morse at a position of dire need at center. Other than that, it's really not his MO. He'd really rather build from within. And now that he's got his own homegrown guys who need new contracts, that's going to be the focus before they bring in some marquee, big name edge rusher. And you know, as perfect as the fit may be on the field, this game has a lot more to do than what happens between the lines on Sunday. So I don't think that he's the kind of guy to bring in a huge market, huge money free agent that hasn't been in the culture, hasn't been in the program, hasn't messed with that locker room. That's just not, that goes against everything, like I said, that he's done and everything that I've heard from him.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Buffalo Bills, one of our favorites here in the sports bar. Marcel, we did have the report over the weekend from the Houston Chronicle that said the Bills, one of three teams, reportedly interested in tackle DJ Reader. Well, your thoughts on that, if you've heard anything to verify that the Bills might be in the market for Reader, and are we to lay, could we see a situation where the price tag maybe for Jordan Phillips, like Shaq Lawson, might be a little too expensive? Is that where you see this going here?
Yeah, I think I think Jordan Phillips is as good as gone. I've felt this way for some time now. But DJ Reader is not going to come cheap either. I don't think he may not be a huge name to just the casual football fan, but this is a very good football player. And, investing in him, we're still flirting with the same concept of giving a whole bunch of money to Jordan Phillips. It's that you still have Ed Oliver there. You still got Star Lotulelei for another, at least this season, that since it's fully guaranteed. We'll see after that. You still got Harrison Phillips as well. They do need to add some depth to that room, but I think that those three D tackles I just mentioned, I think those are really going to be the breadwinners in terms of defensive snaps played next year. You sign a guy to an eight figure a year deal like DJ Reader's probably going to get, he's going to eat into some playing time. He's going to eat into those snaps, and so I think interest. You got to be careful. This is smokescreen season up until the end of the draft, till day three of the draft. You really got to take everything you hear with a grain of salt, because interest and actually pulling the trigger are usually two different things.
Isn't smokescreen just a nice way of saying lying, Marcel?
Yeah, it's nonsense season, I guess we could say.
We call it the season of lying. Marcel, I have to interrupt for a second because we have a bit of breaking news here around the coronavirus. As the NCAA has announced that the Division I and men's and women's basketball tournaments will be attended by only essential staff and limited family attendance. No fans at this year's NCAA basketball tournaments, Division I, both men's and women's. Now, I'm bringing this up in the middle of our conversation about the Buffalo Bills. Marcel, I'm curious if you've heard anything around your NFL circles about any change in plans with some of the events happening here. I mean, there's a ton of pro days coming up. There are scouts that are usually on the road this time of year. You've got the owners' meetings, and of course, the big event for the NFL that they're preparing for in Las Vegas, the NFL draft. I mean, it feels like an inevitability that these will be impacted somehow by what's happening here with the coronavirus. Have you heard anything?
I haven't heard anything quite yet, and mostly because a lot of the NFL's big events are still, some time away. But I think the draft coming up, that's a really important event to keep an eye on. Over the past few years, it's become such a huge fan spectacle or such a huge fan event that, and especially in a city like, in a stage like they're proposing in Las Vegas, that's essentially just right off of the main street. I think it's reason for concern here. As far as, locker room access goes for NFL teams, we're still months away from setting foot in that locker room, in any locker room. So you kind of just have to, it's too early to really predict that. You want to hope that these concerns have tabled off, tapered off by August. But, you know, that just shows, like, this is not, it's not a joke. This is a huge deal. I mean, the NCAA tournament, that is the NCAA's moneymaker. College football playoff aside, this is everything to this organization, and they're willing to, you know, and they see the reason, they see the need to cut fan engagement there, cut fan attendance there. It's just going to hurt their wallet. But no, you do have to wonder, though, like, if we're going to be looking back at this summer in, you know, 5-10 years from now, and wonder, you know, what was the coronavirus's impact on the NFL draft? If scouts were in, players could not attend their visits, could not attend pro days because of these travel concerns, and teams ended up swinging and missing on a whole bunch of picks. Like, I'm curious if we start to see a lot more diamonds in the rough, a lot more star power emerge out of the later rounds than usual. But we'll definitely be able to see which scouting departments are worth their weight and which ones, and which ones are not.
Yeah, which scouting organizations did their homework ahead of time, knowing Brandon Bean, and, you know, he himself is out on the road. Marcel, let me just, you know, as we're reacting to all this in real time, let me float this idea. You have to play the NCAA tournament now because, yeah, a lot of these kids will graduate, and you can't push it back. But could you, in theory, say, hey, you know what? This is a made-for-TV event anyways. The draft, we can conduct this business later on in the summer. Could we perhaps have the NFL taking a lead here and saying, you know what, we're going to move this to June, and hopefully the world will be in a different place then? Could you see that scenario?
I mean, not going to rule it out, but I don't think, moving from April to June, I'm not sure how much improvement can be made as far as, you know, this virus starting to taper off. I think that the draft itself, like, you don't really, that's really a made for TV event. Just like the NFL combine, being there is cool and all, but, like, let's be real. It's a draft. Like, you don't even, not even the players really need to be there. You can do all this thing, do the whole thing on Twitter, but, it's just kind of a shock. You know, you see these things, you see this virus, you know, when it first started out, when it was back in, out in China, and you were kind of, like, programmed to think, okay, well, that's so far away, that's not going to hit home. It don't hit home much harder than this, much harder than the NCAA tournament, being shut off to fan attendance. That's just wild.
Well, Marcel, I'd like to continue to have a Bills conversation, but I think we have to shift gears here, and I really appreciate you carving out some time for us.
Can we do this maybe next week?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about the value of Robert Foster moving forward, but, I mean, it just feels like there might be a few things a little bit bigger. Marcel, real quick before we let you go, what are you working on at ESPN.com that our listeners can read up on?
I've still got the Deion Dawkins article coming up soon. And other than that, we're focused on free agency. We're focused on the draft. I want to be as prepared as possible for everybody that is looking for information and looking for analysis. That anytime someone's coming in town, somebody signs a deal, somebody comes to visit X, Y, Z, want to make sure that you're as informed as possible as well. So this is it's study season, man. Smokescreen and study season right now.
Well, Marcel, really appreciate the time. Sorry we had this major curveball thrown in the middle of this interview, but
it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah,
man. It's all good.
Yep, have a good one, and let's catch up real soon. Thanks so much, Marcel.
Definitely, guys. Take it easy.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com. You know, we got to get him on next week during when free agency gets underway. Hopefully by then, you know, things are starting to. What are we waiting for? We're waiting to hear word that it's going in the opposite direction instead of growing. If it grows at the rate that it grew in China, in Italy, all of this is going to feel like what feels like an overreaction right now might actually be worth it.
But yet, you know, where Ohio has had this recommendation, don't play games, but the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to have. I mean, there's some inconsistencies, but like the big school district being the first one to say, hey, you know what, tomorrow, a snow day for everyone, others will follow. The NCAA, my gosh, not allowing fans for their tournament. And this is the middle ground. This is what they need. They can still collect their money because that's important from CBS. But it's going to look awfully strange on television. By the way, it's not going to look like good television. It's going to be supremely bizarre.
It's not going to sound like anything. It's just going to be weird. It's going to be different.
Play at the Y or something.
We'll always remember the tournament of 2020, the statement from NCAA President Mark Emmert. We have a little bit of time here. Let me just quickly run through this. The NCAA continues to assess the impact of COVID-19 in consultation with public health officials and our COVID-19 advisory panel. Based on their advice and my discussions with the NCAA Board of Governors, I've made the decision to conduct our upcoming championship events, including the Division I men's and women's basketball tournaments, with only essential staff and limited family attendance. While I understand how disappointing this is for all our fans of our sports, my decision is based on the current understanding of how COVID-19 is progressing in the United States. This decision is in the best interest of our public health, including that of coaches, administrators, fans, and most importantly, our student athletes. We recognize the opportunity to compete in an NCAA national championship is an experience of a lifetime for the students and their families. Today, we will move forward and conduct championships consistent with the current information and will continue to monitor and make adjustments as needed.
So there you go. Yale basketball, even though the Ivy League has canceled all spring sports, Yale basketball will be playing in a tournament there with no fans, essentially. 454 ESPN. Who's going to follow now?
Kind of feels like the world's coming to an end, Gino. I don't know how to really react
right
now.
Well, the sports bar, we'll be back with you in July for training camp. For Mike Danger, I'm Gene Battaglia. Right. Thank you for listening.
What are we going to talk about? All right. Well, we've got some news and notes.
Humor, folks. We're laughing.
We've got some news and notes to share from around the NFL from today. We'll get those to you next with NFL appetizers. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
I mean, Tom Brady. It's next week's supposed to be his week where there's all this COVID-19 stuff is taking over. Yeah. Well, we'll give you the latest on Brady. What about Christian Kirksey? We talked about that with Marcel Louis-Jacques, a tackle that the Buffalo Bills could perhaps be interested on. And a new career for Rob Gronkowski.
Shocking to no one. NFL appetizers on the way next. News and notes from around the NFL in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. AM 950, 95.7 FM, and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports. Kidding. College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis. Feeds LeBron and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester Americans.
Ogilvy's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.